Okay, good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. So the truth is we're up to Siman Sadi Dalet, but we're going to skip to Siman Sadi Hey first. We're not skipping. We're just going to go a little bit out of order. Many Magide Shir do this. They'll go through Siman Sadi Hey first before going back to Siman Sadi Dalet. Now, Siman Sadi Hey essentially deals with the transfer of taste via a parv food. So this is a typical example would be you cooked parv noodles in a fleishik pot. What is the status of those noodles? Is that parv? We're going to go through many practical questions. Some of them are, it's really a fascinating sugya with many, many applications. I'll give an example. A few years ago, I went to a school, non-affiliated school, but they wanted to have a kosher kitchen. And they officially had a kosher program throughout the year. So I went with another rabbi who went along. He came along with me, and we saw they had one steam table. If anybody sees yeshiva lunches, you know what a steam table is. You have these wells that have, they fill it up with water, 2-3 ounces of water, 2 inches of water, and you have big sheet pans being placed on top of it with food, and the wells are fill up with steam, and it keeps the food hot. So that's called a steam table in a commercial kitchen. So they were using the same steam table to serve both fleishiks and milchiks. Maybe they were even using it at the same time if they had different options on the lunch menu. So the fellow that I was going with said, "Oh, this is a classic basar b'chalav." And the truth is not true. If you go through our Siman Sadi Hey, we will see that perhaps there is no issue of using the same steam table as long as you don't have spills, which again is a disaster to actually use it for both. It's not recommended. But from a halacha standpoint, we're going to discuss, does taste transfer from the well of the steam table going back up? Another example would be, let's say you have a sous vide, for those that know what that is. You have a water bath that has 170 degree constant temperature. You take a piece of meat or some other protein, you vacuum pack it, vacuum seal it, and you let it cook and simmer in its own juices in a sealed bag. And it's taking a bath for 24 hours, 36 hours, and I'm sure we've spoken about it together regarding Hatmana on Shabbos. Can you use Shabbos to cook it for your Saturday night dinner? You have a 72-hour recipe. So many different shilas we've discussed together over the years, Baruch Hashem. There's another question which I don't think we discussed together, and that is, can you use the same sous vide for both fleishiks and milchiks? So most of us wouldn't make sous vide milchiks, but I've heard of dairy recipes with maybe fish, a salmon and butter type of recipe where you would want to use the same sous vide device for both milchiks and fleishiks. So you have this question. Another question, a very common question, is you have schaefers or sternos, belaz, that people call that you want to use. Can you use the same fleishik, wiring rack to hold up the big hotel pans that they just used for milchiks at a previous event? What about the big hotel pans? You're going to fill it up with water, and you're going to put your 9x13 pans inside the sterno for a party. So you had a similar question as well. One more question, just to whet the appetite. So this happened in Minneapolis with my brother-in-law, Yerav. So many urns don't have this yontif mode. We won't discuss which urn to buy for yontif, but especially in a three-day yontif in a large family, at some point you're going to run out of hot water for coffee. So what do you do? So if you have a fancy schmancy urn that has a yontif mode, whatever that means, maybe there will be some type of heter to fill in some water because the heat, essentially you need the heating element to stay on. And just like any eish on yontif, if the fire is on, you're allowed to make it higher on yontif. So you could increase the energy. That's not a problem. However, if the heating element is off, and by you adding water, maybe it keeps it warm, it has insulation, but a new fire is going to come or a new heating element is going to energy is going to get created, you're not allowed to fill it up with cold water on yontif. So let's say you have that type of urn and you want to fill it up with water. So what's the etza? Very simple etza is, take a pot, like in the olden days, and you fill it up with water and you cook up the water so you can have your coffee, but you can now take this water that's hot, put it into the urn. It's not going to activate the heating element because it's hot. It's 212. It's even hotter than the water in the urn and everything's fine and dandy. However, someone in the family took a fleishik pot, a soup pot that was Ben Yoima's soup pot, and now filled it up with hot water and put it into the urn. So your question is going to be, what's the status of this water now? You tried to help everyone with coffee, and you just messed up the whole urn. Can we add milk to this to the coffee when we're using this hot water? So you're going to have to stay for a few shiurim to get to the bottom line of this this question, but it's a very common question where you just have a quickly you're going to fill up a pot of water, throw it into the urn, and now you have perhaps fleishik water. So where does the sugya begin? The sugya begins in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. An interesting case. The Gemara says like this: Itmar, dogim she'olu b'ka'ara. They put fish in a ka'ara, in a plate. So let's assume it was hot fish in a plate. Rav Amar, aser la'achlan b'kutach. One is not allowed to eat it with kutach. Kutach is our fancy dairy dish from Bavel. Shmuel Amar muter la'achlan b'kutach. Shmuel says you could eat it with cheese. Rav says you can't eat it with cheese. Now we're going to assume that this fish was heated up in a milch in a ka'ara shabasar, in a fleishik plate. And the question is, can I eat this fish with milchiks? Now this Gemara is clearly a raya against something we learned in one of the first few shiurim, where there's a debate. The Beis Yosef wrote, the Shulchan Aruch here, the Beis Yosef wrote that one is not allowed to add milk and fish together. You can't eat milk and fish. It's a sakana. And many of the Achronim pointed out it's against this Gemara. The Gemara says that there's a question in Basar B'Chalav if you could have milk with the fish that was cooked in a fleishik pot. But everyone assumes there's no Isser of Sakana. And many asked this as a question on the Shulchan Aruch then, and we dealt with it at that point. But let's focus on our topic. Our topic is you have Dagim She'olah B'Ka'ari, a fish that were placed in a milchik, in a fleishik plate. Shmuel says it's mutter to eat it. Rav says it's aser. Why does Rav say it's aser? Well, it's nice in time. It's regular tam ke'ikr. The salmon has flavor of fleishiks. And now you can't add butter. You can't put butter on the salmon that was cooked in a fleishik dish. Shmuel amar mutter. Why? So he introduces us to this concept called noisin tam bar noisin tamhu. Those that learned Yeridea, this is called nat bar nat. Nun tes bar nat. Nun tes is noisin tam. Noisin tam is something we mentioned almost every single shiur, that flavor goes in. So Shmuel has a chiddush that this is already a secondary flavor. It's noisin tam bar noisin tam. What does that mean? So we'll give a quick explanation and we'll get back to this in a few minutes. Let's say you have a potato that was cooked together with meat. You have a beef stew, you have a chalent, and a potato is cooked with meat. The meat gives taste into the potato. So the potato is coming from a noisin, the meat was noisin tam into the potato, and everyone agrees the potato is fleishik. Do you have to wait 6 hours? There's no basar b'nei shinayim. That's machlokes mechaber ramah that we learned back in the beginning. But everyone agrees the potato has flavor from the meat. It's noisin tam. What if we have a different case? You finished cooking your meat stew, emptied the pot out, cleaned it out, washed it out, and now you cook potatoes in that pot. So did the meat give taste directly into the potato? No. It's noisin tam. The meat gave taste into the pot. Subsequently, the pot gave flavor back into the potato, an hour and a half later. When they cooked the potatoes, then you have noisin tam bar noisin tam. It's a two-step process. Now, who cares? So we'll see what this heter would be, but it seems like, that seems like it. Clearly, the Shmuel says it's noisin tam bar noisin tam. It's already a secondary flavor, and therefore it's mutter. One is allowed to take the fish and put butter on it. You're allowed to eat the fish with butter if it was simply put in a olu b'ka'ara shabasar, if it was put in a ka'ara, a plate, a fleishik plate. Now, we're just seeing the Gemara. We wouldn't be able to write the Shulchan Aruch ourselves because she'olu sounds like it was just in there for a few minutes. Ka'ara is a plate, not a kedera, a pot. So what is the case talking about? Additionally, where's the transfer? If it's not hot, where's the transfer of taste? So the truth is, before we get to our sugya, just for a minute, there's a famous Maharshal, which we dealt with previously, regarding a davar gush. That this comes up in Hilchos Shabbos as well. For example, let's say you have a hot Yerushalmi kugel, okay? Everyone agrees it's a davar gush, it's a solid, okay? You're in shul in Eretz Yisrael, and they serve you Yerushalmi kugel for kiddush. Can you take black pepper, which has not been cooked, and spice your Yerushalmi kugel? Now, unless you're stealing kugel during a, you know, kiddush club, and you're actually eating kugel from the pan, your kugel is not in a kli rishon. Your kugel is on a plate. The plate is a kli sheni, and halacha is in a kli sheni, a tavshil won't get cooked, and it should be mutter. However, the Marshal held that a dover gush, if it's a solid, you don't have the leniencies of kli sheni. Just for 10 seconds, kli sheni, Tosfos says, defamis makaros. When you put it into a second cup, the walls cool it off. This is a dover gush. It doesn't have any, there's no walls to cool it off. It's sitting on its own, and therefore it doesn't get cooled off. It has the status of a kli rishon. That's the shita, the opinion of the Marshal. His raya, one of his proofs, is from our Gemara. The Gemara here said, you took fish, you put it into a plate, and now there's a transfer of taste. How do you have a transfer of taste? The plate is a kli sheni. So the Marshal sees from here that it's a dover gush. The fish was hot. It's a solid piece of salmon, and that's the transfer of taste. Now, what's everyone else, what?
Can I just clarify, though? I'm sorry. The pot is a nice and tam rishon, or the meat, rather. The meat is a nice tam rishon for the kegel and the fish, right?
Correct.
No. Well, that's right. For the fish, the nice tam rishon is what, the pot?
No. So the pot only is a child of tam. Because the pot isn't Isser Machmas Atzmoy. The pot was used for fleishiks an hour ago.
So now the fish becomes.
It's a noisin tam or noisin tam. The flavor of the meat went into the pot. That's one noisin tam. The flavor of the pot went into the meat. So that's not bar not. So the fish only has absorbed taste. What?
Okay. And it's the kegel, the same thing, in other words. You cook the kegel in the fleishik pot.
Yeah, it would be the same thing. Let's assume, but we'll get to all the details later if, you know, different types of food. All right, now just kugel, my case of kugel was dover gush, simply the halach of dover gush, that you see that there's a transfer of taste, there's flavor. Now, whether or not noisin tam has nothing to do with anything, just Marshal sees that there's heat by being a dover gush. Everyone's going to argue with him, and they're going to have to learn the Gemara differently, and we'll see, we'll try to figure out how exactly they learn the Gemara. So now, there's three shittos in the Rishonim, and from these three shittos we have a whole world of different opinions and halacha lemaisa of what to do in our cases that we gave. We'll have to get to more details before we paskin a shaila regarding a sous vide and regarding an urn that was filled up with water cooked in a fleishik pot. But you'll start seeing many different halachas that would come up in these three shitas. Let's say a person scrambled eggs in their fleishik frying pan. Can you add cheese to it? So let's see. The Rivan, quoted by, the Rivan is really quoting Rashi. The Rivan says like this. He says, this is Rashi's son-in-law, Dafka alu shari. Only if it was alu, if it was put into a bowl. Avo nisbashlu is aser tikecha taimachashiv. The Rivan holds that if it was cooked together, you don't have a heter. So according to the Rivan, let's say you cooked salmon in a fleishik pot. Not that the salmon was put into a fleishik plate, ka'ara. Ka'ara is dafka in the Rivan's eyes. Only ka'ara do we have this heter, this allowance of not bar not, of double tam, a secondary tam. If it was cooked, then we say it does have the original taste, and you would not be able to add butter to salmon that was cooked in a fleishik pot. That's the shita of the Rivan, and he has two rayas to this. One raya is from a Gemara later on. On that same page, the Gemara there says regarding a Dover Charef. So we didn't learn Dover Charef together. That will come up soon in a few weeks, Mirtz Hashem. That's all your onion shilas and radishes and sharp foods. So the Gemara there says that tsunoin, you took a radish that's sharp. Shechatchu besakin, shechatach babasar. You took a fleishig knife, your red knife in your kitchen, and you cut a onion. Okay. Aser la'ochle bekutach. You can't take this onion and make herring and cream sauce. Real cream, you can't use this onion for milchiks. Okay, fine, sounds good. The Rivan says, I don't understand. The knife is only a not by not. The knife got flavor from the steak that you cut an hour ago, and it's giving flavor into the onion. Why should it be any worse than bishul? And if you look at hilchos, the halachas of radishes and onions, in fact, that's how we hold, typically, we'll get to all the details, that davar charef works just like bishul, but it's not any worse than bishul. That's raya number one. And raya number two, he says, is from the Gemara.
The meat had to be hot. Is that right?
Yeah. For this example, yes. The meat was hot. He cut a shawarma on the spit. So he has a, a real ala eish mamish. The knife was used for fleishik. It's a real fleishik knife. You're right. Many of our knives and forks and spoons are not really kli rishon. We're never used with a kli rishon unless it's a unless using it on the fire. When men cook, they find whatever's available. So there goes the whole thing. But if you have dedicated cooking utensils and then you have your silverware that you use on Shabbos, most of the time our silverware aren't really so fleishik, so milchik. If you ever have a shiloh, it's usually only used with a cliche, so there would be reason to be makel, depending on...
So people worry about vegetables cut up in fruit stores, whatever, it will never be a cliche rishon anyhow.
Right, but the onion, so there's a special chiddush of davar charef, that even though it's not hot, are you saying the knife? Yeah, you're right.
You're worried about the knife cut meat, but the meat was usually, how would the meat ever be that hot?
Yeah, correct.
Because they don't make meat there, they don't grill meat.
Yeah, exactly. They would have to be a sandwich that they brought in, maybe davar gush, the marshal's chumrah. Had a very hot piece of meat, but yeah, by the time they're cutting their sandwich, it's usually not hot. In a chanami, it would really be a question of be'en, if there's any be'en on the knife, and if you're buying it in a commercial location, it'll be batel 1,000 times over. If someone, you go to a Sunny Deli around the corner, if you ask them to cut up an avocado for you, and that knife was just used for a ham sandwich, then you really need shishim against the surface of the knife because they didn't clean it. Now, if you see them cleaning it, then you're right, and you wouldn't have any issue because it was cold, and it's not a davar charef if you're not getting an onion. But okay, fine. So the second thing he says like this. The Gemara in Pesachim, which deals with milchik bread. Halacha is you're not allowed to make milchik bread. If you want to teach your children, next time you go to a large non-kosher supermarket and show them the different breads, the ones that are mamish not kosher are the ones that have dairy in it. You're not going to really find, ham in bread. This manazen, they're not putting lard in bread, most companies. But you will find dairy bread. If there's dairy in it, you'll see, there's no hashkacha on it. You'll ask about Thomas English muffins or the like. Those are usually batel, or they have a butter flavor, which is batel, or something like that. But for the most part, any normal hashkacha is not going to give hashkacha on dairy bread because there's an isser to make dairy bread. You're not allowed to make dairy bread. Halacha, not everyone knows this. You cannot make a yogurt-flavored bagels. One is not allowed to do that. There are two heterim. We'll learn in Siman Sadi Zayin. If you make it for a small meal, the Ramah is makel up to 24-hour consumption, shvuas discussion. Or if you put a simen, you put a special sign on it, you have a funny-looking shape that everybody knows this is milchix, or there's cheese coming out of the cheese danish, or whatever the situation is, a cheese pretzel, that's a clear simen that it's milchix. Now, when the Gemara talks about making milchik bread, the Gemara also talks about making fleishik bread. By milchik bread, it says you put chalav in the dough. Fleishik bread, they didn't do that. They would take fat, a good schmaltz, and smear the oven with fat, and bake bread on top of the schmaltz. So Tosfos there asks, why is this called fleishik bread? This should be our case of dagim she'alu b'ka'ara shel basar. The same way the Gemara said that fish cooked in a fleishik pot. The Gemara says, well, if you learn it, talking about a pot, but the Gemara says fish that was put into a fleishik ka'ara, you're allowed to now eat it with butter. So why would bread that was cooked in a fleishik oven that they smeared schmaltz in it, why should that be any different? What are you worried about? That someone's going to eat it with milchix? So you're not allowed to have fleishik bread? You are allowed to eat it with milchix. That's the Gemara in Chulin. That's Tosis' question.
Well, it sounds like it's bad.
So Tosis' Teretz is bad. Very good. That's Tosis' Teretz. But the Rivan does not hold that Tosis' Teretz. It says, no, that the schmaltz got absorbed into the walls of the keli. It's actually, this question, this discussion in Tosis, how the schmaltz works, would actually be a nafkamina regarding pre-seasoned cast iron pots. So when you buy a cast iron skillet or a pot, the real chefs only use these things. So if it's pre-seasoned, that means the company smeared it with fat. Now, in America, most companies only use vegetable oil, but you never know. It's kedai to kasher it before you use it. So you have a very interesting question. How exactly do I kasher this, Rabbi? Right? To do agala is not a big deal, right? You put it, you boil it up with water, let it overflow, or put it into a big pot of boiling water. That would be a very simple process of kashering. However, if the fat is be'en, if it's on the pot itself, hagala doesn't work. If you have fat, you can't do hagala. You have to do libun. You have to actually take a blowtorch and kasher your cast iron skillet. If it in fact was smeared with chazer schmaltz. So one could say this is the same achlik as Toisus and the Rivan. According to the Rivan, taking oil and smearing it onto the oven, even though it pre-seasons it, and now it has a release agent that the dough doesn't get stuck to it, that's not called ba'en, that's called a blia, and it should be no different than fish, and that's his kasha, right? According to Toisus, no, that's called ba'en. You're seeing ba'en. So according to the Rivan, you have a kula in skillets. According to Toisus, you have a chumrah. So the truth is today, if getting an American company and they claim to only use vegetable oil, I don't think we have to be machmer. You could probably rely on Haggadah. But someone could make the argument that if they're pre-seasoning it, that means there's fat on the. By the way, if you wash it with soap and hot water and soap, you have to do it again. You're taking out the fat. There's a special way to wash these cast iron skillets. There are some companies that have hashgacha. One of the big companies, Lodge skillets, used to have hashgacha, but they didn't see the need for it, and they got rid of the hashgacha, but they still claim to only use sunflower oil, which would not be a problem. Again, if they're not lying, would not be a problem of kashering. Okay, so that's the Rivan's two rayas. What's his raya? His raya is that when things are cooked together, so then, even if it's nice in time, it's fish being cooked in a fleishik pot, or challah being baked on a fleishik oven, that you smeared oil into this oven before, that is called noisin tam, and it's regular fleishiks. The Gemara's case is only alu b'ka'ara. It went into a plate, but if it was cooked in the pot itself, we're machmir. That's the shita of the Rivan. That's shita number one. Rav Rishonim argue, and they say, no, the Gemara talking about ka'ara is lav dafka, doesn't make a difference, even if it's cooked together, meaning it was cooked, it wasn't just put into a plate. You actually took a pot, a fleishik pot, and you cooked salmon in that pot. And now you want to put butter on it, no problem. How do they answer the question from the Davar Charev and the deer and the bread? They have the same tariffs for both of them. Those Gemaras are talking about Be'en, when there was actual mamashas still on the knife. That's why the Davar Charev, it's a problem when you cut the onion. The Gemara in Psachim, talking about bread, as my father said, it's talking about where the oil is called the end. It's a release agent. It's right there. You get your hands off all greasy by touching it. That's called the end. It's not the same case. The case of the fish, it was a clean pot. They cooked fish in the pot. There was nothing there. And the Shulchan is going to actually say that. And that's why they argue on the Rivan. So the Rivan was machmir for cooked together. Rav Yishanim argue, even if it was cooked, the fish was cooked in a fleishik pot, it's still called not bar not. And a third shita, and you could see where the third shita is coming from, differentiates between tzli and bishul. That if it was cooked in a pot, that works. So you took salmon, you cooked it in a fleishik pot, that's fine. Why? Because we'll say not bar not, the pot that had absorbed taste, the taste was spit out into the water, and I add another step, and from the water into the salmon. But if you grilled the salmon on a fleishik grill, according to this third shita called the Sefer HaTruma, then you would not have this heter of not by not, this parv heter, it would have the same status as fleishiks, and you would not be able to add butter to a piece of salmon grilled on a clean fleishik grill. Those are the three shitas. So let's take a step back and just discuss what's this heter of not by not, of nice in time by nice in time. So we know that if you had a potato cooked in, we just said this before, the same example, potato cooked together with meat in a stew, in a soup, that potato has real taste of meat, and that potato cannot be cooked with milchiks. It would be a problem of basar b'chalav, or the blia of basar being cooked with chalav. However, if you had a clean pot that was just used for fleishiks, and now you cook a potato in there, so in that case, it's noisin tam bar noisin tam. So what's this heter of noisin tam bar noisin tam? So there is a shita, the shita of the Ramban, tremendous, tremendous chiddush. We don't go with this, but it's interesting to hear. And he says that when we look at a pot of food, you cook noodles in a milchik pot, parv noodles, it doesn't taste like cheese. Where's the blia? We don't know what blias even mean. So havud lelahoysef ala. The Torah tells us in three or four different places, from Nazir, Mishra Sanavim, from Klei Midyan, from Basar B'chalav, the Torah tells us that there's something called tam ke'ikr, that the flavor of something goes into food, and we have to be concerned for it. But maybe that's only one step. Two steps, who's to say? Maybe noisin tam only goes so far. That's the shita of the Ramban. There are many questions on him. Primarily, this whole discussion in Simen Sadihei regarding a weak taste or a secondary taste is only applicable when we're dealing with heter, basar, or chalav. But if you're dealing with iser, everyone agrees, all the books, they all say that this heter doesn't apply. No one's going to tell you, I could take the same chafing dish or sous vide that was used for treif, even though there was a water buffer in between, and now use it for kosher. No one says you could do that. It's only a conversation when we talk about either something that was fleishik or something that was milchik when we're dealing with heter. Now, according to the Ramban, why not? It's all havud l'haisifala. So that's not going to be the reason that we're going to deal with. We're going to go with the Rashba, and you speak to anyone on the street, any Talmid Chacham, they'll tell you, yeah, they go with the Rashba. And the reason why we allow a not bar not is because it's called a tam kalush. It's a weak taste. How do you understand that? So to create iser, we can have a very high standard. In order for iser to be created in this potato, I need to have a very strong flavor of both fleishiks and milchiks coming together to create basar b'chalav in this potato, or as the Gemara described, in this fish. But if I already had iser, so we see this throughout Shas, and we understand this in a, you know, a very basic way, that to retain iser, we assume it retains iser until proven otherwise. So if something was usser already, you took fish and you cooked it in a treifa pot, so that fish has treifa flavor, la'olam vaed, forever and ever, assuming no bittul. But if I had basar, maybe this taste of basar goes away. At some point, it doesn't have a fleishik taste. It's not iser. Fleishik is kosher. So there will be no issue of a tam ki'ikr once it's already a secondary taste. That is the shita of the Rashba. Now, to go back to these three different opinions, we'll see how it fits in very well. The Rivan would say that this weak taste is only true when you're dealing with, you put a hot piece of fish onto a plate, where the transfer was either davagush, like the Marshal, or the transfer was like an Eroi Klirishon, maybe the Ramah says. It's a very, very, very weak transferring of taste. That's when the Gemara is makel. But if I cooked up the fish in a pot of water, that's a very strong taste. And what's this heter of Tom Kolish of a weak taste? That's the Rivan, why he would be machmer. What about the Sefer HaTruma, who's machmer on the grilled corn or the grilled salmon on the flesh? You can say the same thing. That in order for us to use this heter of Tom Kolish, that's only when there was a lot of transferring. So let's do the math. You had, we'll go with the extreme example, where he's everyone's makel. Where the Sefer HaTruma would be makel. You have a pot. In the pot was meat. You made a meat soup. There's meat, there's onions, there's water, liquid. So the meat, theoretically, transfers taste into the broth. The broth goes into the pot. And subsequently, you cooked up, corn on the cob with water in a pot. So the flavor goes from pot to water and then to the corn. So there's a lot of steps. That's when we'll say it's mutter. But if it was grilled, if it was sli, like the case of the bread, he's going with the Rivan's understanding of the bread case, where you put the bread directly onto a pan so that you don't have a buffer of water in between, and that's why he would be machmer. Those are the three shitas. We're going to see that all three of them are brought lahalacha lamaisa if you're Ashkenazi. If you're Svardim, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch and Sefer Aleph and Beis, and we'll see the Ashkenazi shita next week. So let's quickly go through the Shulchan Aruch here. Simon Tzadi A, we'll do Sif Aleph and Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll say the Sephardi Psak, and then we'll, Emirat Hashem, next week, we'll get to what the Ashkenazim do, found in the Ramah and Sif Beis, and we'll see why we need to have all this information from the Rishonim in order to understand the Ramah and the various applications. So, Simon Tzadi Hei Sif Aleph. By the way, if someone doesn't have a Shulchan Aruch, you can go to Sefaria.org has a Shulchan Aruch on their website. So just put in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, you can find Simon Tzadi Hei Sif Aleph. So Dagim Shenis Bashlu, you had fish that was cooked, Oishin Nitzlu, see, he doesn't care if it's cooked or roasted, B'Kdei Rishal Basar, that was Rechutza Yafeh, it was cleaned well, She'ein Shum, Shuma and Davuk Ba, there's no fat on it, there's nothing stuck to it, Mutter La'achla M'Kutach, you're allowed to take this item and eat it with Kutach, with your whey dairy item. To give a more easy, simple example, you have your schnitzel frying pan that was clean, you made an egg, and now you want to take this egg and put it on top of your bagel and butter. If you're a Sephardi, mutter la'achlam, you're allowed to eat the egg with butter. Mishum, dehavi noisin tam, bar noisin tam, dehetera. This is a not bar not, noisin tam, bar noisin tam, dehetera. That the fleishik pot absorbed taste from fleishik, and then that gave taste into the fish. So it's a not by not, and you're allowed to eat it with milchex. Now, what if it was not cleaned? They just threw it into the pot. So if you don't have shishim, obviously you will not be able to eat it with kutach, with your dairy. One more halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Be'ash nisbash l'b'mayim b'kdeira. So you have to see why what this adds. You'll see at the end. You have an egg, a hard-boiled egg that was cooked in a milchik pot. Mutter losses oisa b'soicha tanegoyles. You're allowed to put it inside the chicken. So you're about to roast your turkey for Thanksgiving. You want to take your cooked egg or potato. I don't know what you stuff your turkey with. And you want to cook it with the turkey itself. So you're actually cooking, unlike the Rivan. Afil lechatchila it's mutter because it's not barnat. The egg or whatever else was cooked in water, and that water was cooked in a pot, but there was no meat in there, and there's no milk in that case, and it'd be mutter. Avam nespash lebigdeira and basar. However, if it was cooked together, meaning you had an egg that was cooked, you have a Sephardic chalent, and they put the chamin, and they put an egg inside their chalent. So then, even if it was cooked, it's asur afil beklipa. Even if it was cooked with its shell. The shell is porous. Flavor will get will transfer. You'll see the egg, the Sephardim meat is brown. It doesn't have the same color. Will not be able to eat it with kutach. Now it sounds like
even if you wrap it with a tin foil.
Tin foil maybe. Yeah, there's always that made up shiloh where I don't think it's true. I hope it never happened. Where they say this lady took a kishka from the freezer and put it into the chalent, and she realized the next day, Shabbos morning, there was gefilte fish. It wasn't kishka. So there it's not basa b'chala. There'll be a question of fleishiks going into the fish, assuming you would still want to eat that dish. So that's where I've heard people discuss regarding the foil. Is the foil considered a good buffer? Chalent, if you ever made chalent goes everywhere. The oil just seeps everywhere. I would be very hard to say.
So, but it penetrates the tin foil?
No, if it's wrapped very well, I don't know. You put something in steam and oil for a while, the oil just goes through, penetrates. So
if I had just an egg salad with chalent egg and nothing else, can I eat dairy?
No, so we would say no, unless you really wrapped it very well, double wrapping in the foil and you know it was on top of something, I don't know. Yeah, the steam would go in. It's cooked in the same pot. You actually be fleishik, so you have to wait 6 hours.
Well, not cook. Take a hard-boiled egg, and then just for a little added flavor, whatever. Take a hard-boiled egg, and then you wrap it.
If you took eggs from the chalent, you'd have to eat it. No, you're saying eggs from the chalent, you'd have to wait 6 hours.
Even if it was a hard-boiled egg, you just put it into the chalent?
Yeah.
Oh,
Shabbos morning, so then it wouldn't be bishul, right? That would be a question of taste. If you're putting it into a cliche, that's a good question. But let's assume we're not dealing with that question right now. Okay, that's a sheet of the Mechaber. I just want to point out one thing. The Shach on the Mechaber, and this comes up for Ashkenazim as well, the Shach says, even though the Mechaber here said that everything's mutter, because it's all parv, so to say, the Shach holds that even the Mechaber holds, one is not allowed to do this lechatchila, which would mean, let's say you're hungry tonight, and you already used the frying pan for fleishiks. You already made schnitzel, but you didn't eat it. You didn't want to eat fleishiks tonight. But the frying pan was used for schnitzel. Now, I don't want to use a new pan. I don't want to bother anyone in the house. This pan is clean, and it's already out. I want to use it for eggs. But I know I'm going to be putting cheese or butter or cream cheese, whatever you like. You're putting that on your sandwich. Can I do this lechatchila? The Mechaber said everything's mutter, but am I allowed to initially use a pot that is fleishiks to cook parv in order to eat it with milchix? What's the difference? So perhaps this would be some type of level of bittel is lechatchila, or playing games with tam kalish, a very weak taste. The Shach says even the Mechaber holds you're not allowed to do this lechatchila by a ben yomei pat. That's the psak of the Shach. So even for the Sfardim, the Yalkut Yosef argues. So Rav Yosef, he argues on the Shach. He says, no, the Mechaber for Svardim, we hold you're allowed to do it even lechatchila. However, the other Svardim, the Ben Ishchai, the Kafachayim, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, they hold, like the Shach, that they shouldn't do it lechatchila. So even though it's mutter b'dieved, if it was done already, meaning if the egg was already made, and now you say, oh, let me put some cheese on it, or put it on a butter bagel, that's fine. But to cook with the intent of doing this, that the mechaber holds is no good. Now, for us, it doesn't help us. We'll see in the Ramah that we're going to say, you're not allowed to add cheese to this if it was cooked together. We're going to be choshish for the rivan. And if it was cooked together, it's not considered parv necessarily. But, as you can imagine, maybe there's a heter of eina ben yomai. And if it wasn't used in 24 hours, so even if it was treif, if someone cooked in something, cooked in a treif grill by mistake, you forgot it was treif, forgot to kosher it, you're allowed to eat the food, it's eina ben yomai. So maybe in an eina ben yomai situation, which is typically the case, let's say someone's cooking for shvuas or for the 9 days and they ran out of fleishik pots, and they ran out of milchik pots, and they want to use a fleishik pot to cook their noodles, so we're going to bring up the shach again regarding, do we care about your kavana? Does your kavana make a difference here, what you had in mind, or do we say, no, it's mutter. If it's mutter, it's mutter, whether or not you're trying to play games. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll see that in the coming weeks. And we'll see the psak for Ashkenazim, what to do in these situations. And if there are any exceptions regarding our chafing dishes and sous vide and all the other examples that we gave, what we consider parv and what we would consider fleishiks or milchiks.